So today, we all know that we're supposed to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, the King, and that He is the King of the universe and the King of us. But today, I just want to speak primarily from what we mentioned in the beginning of our conferences on the Christ the King and the Ignatian Retreat. And this is essentially for apologetical purposes. How do we prove that Jesus Christ is the King? We're going to talk about Christ the King, or Jesus Christ, that man that lived 2,000 years ago. Now, we know that he is, as Catholics, that man is the King of the universe, that man is God, that man is the founder of the true church. But let us for a moment look at him as if we were outside the church, as if we were simply coming into contact with Jesus Christ for the first time and considering him as an historical man, as the modernists say, the historical Jesus. They say these words, the modernists, to distinguish between the Jesus of faith and the historical Jesus. Now, in this particular sermon, I want to simply point out that the Jesus of faith and the historical Jesus are one and the same Jesus, and there is no distinction between them, as the modernists try to say. But let us only look at him as the historical Jesus. What was that man that lived 2,000 years ago? When we study the life of Napoleon, you may want to learn a little bit about the life of Napoleon, but if you read about his entire life, and you read a great book about Napoleon and how great of a man that he was, or how bad of a man that he was, it doesn't matter whether the book likes him or dislikes him. If in the book it never mentions that he was the head of France, if in the book it never mentions that he was an emperor or a king, first thing you need to know is the book was written by an idiot. Napoleon was crowned emperor in the year 1800. He led armies. He was a leader. He was not a follower. Now, Napoleon was an evil man. I don't like him. Other people do like him. But whether we like him or not, considering him as an historical character, as a man who lived in history, what was he? He was an emperor. He was a king. He was the head of armies. He was a conqueror. In the end, he was defeated. And he died in exile. We may like him, we may dislike him, but that's what he was as a man. What about Jesus Christ? With our modern quote-unquote spirituality, we sometimes distinguish between the Jesus Christ, who we believe in as Catholics, and that historical Jesus. In our minds, we make a distinction that we cannot make because it's false. What was he? There's one hallmark that stands out of the life of Jesus Christ, whether you like that hallmark or not, whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or not, whether you believe in him or not, the man that lived 2,000 years ago, the man that walked Galilee and Samaria and Judea, the man that was crucified and died and was buried, that historical man, as much a man as myself, this man was always and in every circumstance of his life the boss. He was always master and he was always king. That's what he was. Let's start at his beginning. We need to remember, first of all, that there are four historical books that are written about him. One of them is called Matthew, another is called Mark, the other one is called Luke, another one is called John. The Gospels of St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John. And these are four separate witnesses of the life of Christ who write separate and distinct historical accounts of the man that lived 2,000 years ago. Now, he was born in Bethlehem. What happened when he was born? First of all, we find that three separate kings came to adore him. Three kings, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. They came to adore a little child in a cave who was greater than themselves, whom these three kings saw as a great king. What about on the negative side? Well, you will find that there was another king who was an evil man by the name of Herod. And Herod learned that a king was born, and that this king would supplant his own kingdom. So Herod was upset, and he determined that this king would not reign, and therefore he commanded the killing of all the holy innocents around the city of Bethlehem. St. Jerome tells us he killed over 500 young boys. Why? To stop a king from reigning. He's not even 40 days old, a year old yet. We see him the next time when he's 12 years old. And we find that he is in the temple speaking with the pre-scribes and the Pharisees, or the scribes and the Sadducees, not the Pharisees. And it says, and they were amazed at his wisdom and his answers. He taught the scribes and Pharisees, a 12-year-old boy. At 12 years old, he was the master. And when he was 12 years old, at the end of those 3 days of his teaching of the scribes and the Sadducees, his own mother came in and said, "Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." He does not apologize to his mother. He does not make an excuse. He simply makes a statement that she must accept. "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And she went and pondered these things in her heart. She was under him. He is 30 years old. He preaches his very first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus Christ finished preaching that sermon, it says, and the people believed in him because he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. He spoke as one having authority. This is before he performed public miracles. He'd already done the marriage feast at Cana, the turning of the water into wine, but he had not yet performed his other public miracles. And the people already began to believe in him. Because of his authority. When he performs miracles, as you travel through the gospel, you will discover that he always does so in his own name and in his own power. He does not call upon the help of God for him to perform his miracles. He simply does it. The sea is going to slay all the apostles, or so it seems. He stands up and he commands the sea to be still. On his own power. We then arrive to his last speech. A couple of last speeches of our Lord Jesus Christ. A few weeks before he died, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all things to myself." Now, lifted up is an expression of the Jews that was used for crucifixion. And in fact, because he said this term, the Pharisees mocked him and said, "Are you going to commit suicide? How dare you say that you are going to be lifted up? You're going to choose to be crucified yourself. You're going to commit suicide. And somehow, by lifting up on a cross, you're going to bring all things to yourself and rule in this way. This is absurd." And they began to mock him. We then arrive the night before his crucifixion. And he says to his apostles, "Confidite ego vici mundum." "Have confidence, I have conquered the world." Those are the words of a master. And he says also of Satan, "Satan is already vanquished." Now the man Jesus Christ, whether you believe he's God or not, he spoke those words truthfully or erroneously. We know he spoke them truthfully. But that's what he was. King and master. And even when he went to wash the feet of his apostles and act like a servant, he said, "You call me master and you say well, for so I am. But as I am about to do to you, you must do also." Then we arrive on Good Friday morning and the important conversation that's chosen for the gospel today. Why was Jesus Christ crucified? What was his crime against humanity? He committed a crime against religion, and he committed a crime against the human race. His crime against religion was he was God. And the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Jews could not accept that, and so they condemned him to death. His crime against the state and against society was he was a king. And if you look to the top of the crucifix, you will see that written on the top of the crucifix, it says, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, Jesus the Nazarene, or Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He was condemned by Pilate for being a king. And the conversation that brings about his final condemnation is in the gospel today. Art thou the King of the Jews, says Pilate. And Christ responds, do you say this of yourself, or have others told it of me? Am I a Jew? Thy own people and thy own chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Note the importance of this passage. It is a passage that has given comfort to many of the enemies of Christ, or many of those that don't feel comfortable with everything that he says. My kingdom is not of this world. Good, I'm safe. I can do whatever I want here. But our Lord says, my kingdom is not from this world, but it is in this world. I have come to this world to conquer it. I have come to this world to establish my kingdom. It doesn't come from here. It comes from heaven, but it's meant to be reigned here. My kingdom is not from here. Thou art then a king. And Jesus answered, thou sayest it, I am a king. And that's a Hebraism. In the Hebrew language, the superlative does not exist. And hence they use statements in order to say something with great zeal or with great intention, or more than simply a declaration, as a proclamation. And thou sayest it is the expression, which means not only yes, but yes, most certainly. I am a king. Thou sayest it. I am a king. Unless we should think anything else. For this was I born. And this is why I came into the world. That I might bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. When he is actually crucified and he is dying on the cross, we find the good thief, St. Dismas, says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Look honestly at the life of Jesus Christ. He who thinks he can study the life of Jesus Christ without coming face to face with the reality of his kingship is an idiot. And it is an error and a heresy that is given only to the 20th century. It is interesting that it only came in the 19th, well, it started with the Protestants, but it came to being only in the 20th century that modern man could stand up and say, well, I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe he's a king. This is absurd. Now he is king by his nature because he's God and he created the universe. He's king by inheritance because he's the God-man and God gave him this universe to reign over. He is the firstborn of all creation, as it says in the Proverbs, in the Colossians chapter 1, which is the epistle of today. And he's king by conquest because he conquered the world on the cross. Triple kingship. We cannot in any way come into contact with Jesus Christ with honesty. We cannot come into contact with Jesus Christ in any correct way without understanding what he is and what he claimed to be. And he claimed to be king. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be the fulfiller of the law and the Messiah. And he either spoke truth or he was a liar. But that's what he did. That is what the historical Jesus Christ did. And we cannot distinguish or separate between the historical Jesus Christ and the so-called Jesus of faith. There's no such distinction. We are all coming into contact with the real man, and he's in the tabernacle right now, that man. And we're either going to accept him or reject him, but it is interesting how theologically our Lord speaks. Do you say this of yourself, or do others say it of me? In other words, it doesn't matter what you think. I am a king, and I am your master. And remember the words of St. Pius X. St. Pius X once was in Rome, and some Protestants came up to him, and they wanted to be blessed by the Pope. He must have had some kind of a vision where he knew that these people would not convert, and they would not be saved. And so, for some reason, the Pope refused to bless them. And they insisted, They were a wealthy people and went to see the Pope, St. Pius X. No, please, Pope, you must bless us. You must bless us. And he said, no, I cannot bless you. I cannot bless you. Finally, at the end, we will not leave until you bless us. And so St. Pius then said, okay, I will bless you. And he said these words, abilo benedicaris, in cuius honore cremabaris. That was his blessing. Abilo benedicaris, in cuius honore cremabaris. These are the words that the priest says at Mass when he blesses the incense. And when we bless the incense, we say, abilo benedicaris, may you be blessed in his name, in cuius honore, in whose honor, cremabaris, you shall burn. May you be blessed in his name, in whose honor you shall burn. Even the damned will accept the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his honor that they shall burn, as St. Pius X saw on that vision of those people. We do not know their names. We will not escape his kingship, but we're going to have to deal with it. And the best way to deal with something is to accept the reality of it first, and then accept, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to adore, and I'm going to follow, and I'm going to imitate. But he is king. And at the end of the Mass today, we have the procession of the Blessed Sacrament. And remember also, please sign up your children in the catechism registration in these little pink forms that are in the back of the church. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. And due to the procession and that today, there will be no adult catechism class after the Mass.